Well, I've titled this morning, The Power of God's Love. And I don't know if you're sensing it this morning. It's really lovely. It's quite amazing. And we've been looking through, as Tricia said earlier, the book of Ephesians. And there are quite a few other scriptures that are very much coming to mind as well as I am looking at this whole thing. And when I titled it, I didn't realise just how much we were going to be getting into in the terms of the power of God's love. It's not just love, it's the power of God's love. In Jeremiah 31, it says, I have loved you. It's a bit ringy, shall I use this other mic? Okay. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And that's way back in the book of Jeremiah. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And one of the people whose ministry we've been following for a long while now, a lady called Patricia King, that's all she ever had when she first started ministering, and she was called to evangelism in those days. And she wanted a word from the Lord, and he gave her this word, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And she thought, well, that's not much. And she went to a prophetic conference, and it was her first prophetic conference, and it just so happened that she was the first one to speak. And she said, Lord, I haven't got anything. I haven't got a word. I haven't got any. All I know is I've loved you with an everlasting love. And the Lord said, preach that. And she preached on the everlasting love of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And at the end of that conference, there were about four or five other powerful, known preachers in the day. But her testimony outsold everybody else in the tapes that were, in those days it was tapes. Everybody bought her tapes to listen to the power of God's everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And it rings down through the ages, doesn't it? And I've been looking at this prayer in Ephesians 3. So if we could pop that one up, 17 to 19, please. And this is what Paul teaches and explains how his heart is towards his people. Don't forget, he's not there at Ephesus. He's writing a letter to them, wishing he could be. As Trish said, he was in chains at the time, not being where he wanted to be. And he says this, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What a prayer. And that rings down history to us today. And that same prayer can speak to each one of us from Paul's lips, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. And the key note in this one, and this is where the point of the sword really goes, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. What does surpass knowledge mean? It goes round it. It's beyond knowledge. It's beyond understanding. It's not just human type of love with which we greet one another. Oh, I really love you. And it comes off somewhere else. But it's nothing like, it's almost like we need another word for this kind of love. The Greek word for this is agape, which is unconditional love. Powerful love from the Father. Don't forget that in John 3:16, which is probably one of the most well-known scriptures, it says, for God so, what? Loved the world. He loved the world, and he loved the word, he wrote the word. But he loved the world that he gave his only son. How about that? Giving up your only children? Not easy. But that is the power of sacrificial love. God knew that the world was in a mess. But through the power of his love and his son, Christ, the Christ who came, the anointed one, he came and drew us back to the Father so that we can partake in that relationship. That's the power of love. It has a draw with it. I've got a magnet here. I've got a few paper clips. And if I attach one magnet to that, and I attach another paper clip to that one, and a paper clip to that one, they're all... It's not enough power in it now. It can't lift that one. But you get the picture. There is a draw in it. That love draws us. And I don't know how far away that would be that it would just pop onto it. Bing! You could throw it at it, and it's all there. That love just draws it. And we're not paperclips, are we? A little bit more important than that. But it gives you a picture of the power of that love. It has a draw to us. And he will draw us to himself even through his word. Because this is the love letter to creation. Sometimes I hug my word because it's the nearest I can get to the Lord. I just go, oh, I love you. But that's Pete. Try it. It works. The power of this love is imitated a little in 1 Corinthians 13. Do you know they call this the chapter of love? They very often use this at weddings, don't they? I don't know that I've ever been to a wedding or Christian wedding that hasn't got 1 Corinthians 13 jammed in the middle of the teaching. And we take it lightly, but the power of this is quite incredible. And this is the bit in the middle. It's 1 Corinthians 13:4. And it says this. And there are 14 points it brings out. Listen to this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It keeps going. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. And that persevere came out in that song we've just sung. You're never gonna let me down. We can trust it, can't we? And to be able to trust God because he's written it in his word is absolutely amazing. And for us in these difficult days, it's absolutely vital that we've got something to hang on to. It really is important to get a real grip of the power of God's love. And his promises pour out of his love. I'm never going to let you go. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 2, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, it goes on into some negatives, but I don't like preaching negatives. I just stay in the positive. You can find the negatives for yourself. In the back end of 1 Corinthians 13, coming back to that, it says in verse 11, would anybody like a Bible? And said it, I've got a whole pack here. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. And this is his finish. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. There are a lot of people who are frightened of that word, love, And we as believers need to find out those folk who are really struggling with that word because of bad history. And people have been drawn into unnecessary and unfavorable things because someone said, I really love you. And we need to enforce what the power of that word is in broken lives. It's a big thing for us as believers to do. But sometimes you see people talking about love and they freak out. We need to understand that they're damaged folk. It goes on from there, 1 Corinthians 14. I'm just going to do the first verse of that. And Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. A lovely challenge. Some people are frightened of that, speaking in tongues things, but when actually the Word of God says, when you're using that gift, you're speaking to God. He inspires it in you. Pretty good gift. Let's jump over to 1 John 4, shall we? Right at the back of your Bibles. And verse 7 to 16 says these things. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Remember, this is from John, and the Bible says this is the one whom Jesus loved. So that when he speaks about love, there's always something really special about it to me. Everyone who loves God has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. You could actually turn that back to front and say, love is God. God is love, love is God. Wonderful little thing to play with. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, so also we ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. That's a powerful line, isn't it? If we love God, his love is out to make us complete in him. Sometimes, you know, I find myself, I haven't got enough love to love somebody, or, you know, you find it. There's a very difficult, irritable type person, and yet God is suddenly saying, you need to pray for that person. Lord, I don't have enough love to pray for that person. You might have found yourself saying something similar to yourself. But you know, you can go to the Father and say, Lord, will you give me your love for him? Put it in my spirit that I might be able to flow in that love, that this person can be restored or put back on an even keel, whatever's going on in their lives. And through that love, we can make a difference. What's the song we sing? You can make a difference, I can make a difference, we can make a difference in this world of ours. We're at in the open. Who does open the book here? Trisha and me, I think Ernie does it. It's good fun, guys. You need, and Sheila there. You really need to get into... It makes a difference when we go into these schools. What do? We just put out love. Verse 15 says this, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We learn to trust the power of that love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in us, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. How's this one? There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. I'll say it again. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Now, if we're full of fear, we need to ask for some more love, Lord, because I'm struggling with this. Fear has really gripped me. And believe you me, as a believer, you're going to get fear. It'll not cease and desist just because I'm a believer. But what he does do is put the power of his love in us so that we can overcome it. It finds its expression in us very often as an overcoming love. But what it also does in me personally is to put a trust in me that enables me to say, I know I can get through this because the power of God's love is working in me so that I'm not so affected by fear. Does that make sense? And sometimes we need to remember this, because very often it's in the darkest moments that we need to have something of the word of God deep down inside of us, somewhere in our knower, in our belly, where we can actually say, I know there's a word here. You might not have the Bible in your pocket, but you've got the Bible in your heart. It's something deep in there that just suddenly comes up. Lord, your word says, what is it? Let's just say it again. Your word says there is no fear in love, and perfect love drives out fear. I resist it in the name of Jesus. And you can help yourself recover in these times of fear and very great difficulty. I hadn't got much of a preach this morning. I preached yesterday in a barn. That was okay. But there is an element of fear going around in my heart at the moment, because next Friday I'm going into hospital for an operation. So I welcome your prayer for that. But every now and then the enemy goes, ding, 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 don't forget. And you go, ooh. And there is always that little element. I'm pretty good with operations and things, to be honest, but there is a little boy in me that sometimes goes, oh, dear. Don't like the idea of that. Don't like the sight of blood and all this business. And I expect you can all resonate with this one, because it's not easy. And that's when fear kind of stands up inside you and you start wobbling until you get hold of the truth. The truth lives in me. Christ lives in me. I'm in him. He's in me. The word of God dwells in me richly according to truth. And there are times when we have to lean back on the power of that love and say, Daddy, you're going to have to pull me through this one. And he does. But it's that developing the relationship through this wonderful love that the Father has for each one of us that we really do need to grasp hold of it. And don't let it go. It's in that song we've just sang, you're never going to let me go. My response is to that, I'm never going to let you go. Good song. Do you know about that? What, the song, the Raise a Hallelujah, that we sang earlier? Do you know the story of that? Some of you might not, so with permission, I will just quickly tell you. There was a newborn baby in California in a big church, a part of the family. They knew things were going to be dodgy, and it was very much touch and go as to whether this child pulled through. And in the night, this song was given, I think it was to the father. It was the worship leader. Okay, fine. At the Bethel Church, yeah. And they started singing this song. It just was downloaded to them, and they started singing this song. I'm raising a hallelujah. Because God says, praise me in all things. And they started praising. And this song was sung and sung. How long did they sing it? Any idea? But they sung it until they got the breakthrough and the child lived, effectively. And it's gone viral around the world and YouTube. And people are seeing the power of the essence of that. A child was snatched from the grave, literally, through raising a hallelujah and praising God. And it's all on record. And if you want to have a look at it, have a look at it on YouTube. And I think it's under Raise a Hallelujah. And it'll just touch your heart. And it brings something of the real kingdom of God into your home and into your heart. Because God has always got an antidote for the work of darkness. The enemy tried to snatch that kid. But the child lived, and he's living, and he's well. And it is not the fact necessarily that they ask for gifts of healing for the Lord, they just praise God. Sometimes the healing ministry works and you lay hands on the child and the child recovers. But it can also be through praise and power and love. Ephesians 2, just to finish. It says, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. That's the power of God's love. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Isn't it wonderful when we hear from the Lord and he says, I want you to convert the chapel into a cafe. And I'm going to do my miracles through that. And half a dozen people say, yeah, we could do that. It's coming into agreement with the leading of the Spirit. We want to bless that kind of thing. It's amazing. Big doors opened. We don't know how long these things are going to last, but when God gives us a challenge, this is what the Bible calls a good work for us to walk into. When this is overlaced with love and the body of Christ is just working and breathing for what God is going to do through the chapel and through other ministries connected with the church, the whole thing comes alive. And it comes alive in the quality of the Father's love. Is that good? I think it's good. If it's difficult for you to swallow some of this stuff, just ask the Lord to help. And he will. It's amazing. But sometimes it is, Lord, I want to see your love. What does it look like? What does it feel like? He'll meet you at that point. He put out a reference point through one of the scriptures. I haven't looked it up. But he says this, if my word abides in you, what is it? How'd it go? If my word abides in you and my love abides in your heart, ask what you will and it will be done for you. It's the love and the word coming together into our heart that can really affect our lives. Amen.